Radio Visions presents A Pretty Good Day, written by Dave Aim and directed by Charles Langdon. As our story begins, Hank Ballard, Cookie, and Jimmy are in Judge Watkins' office as the stagecoach arrives in town.
Why on you, sir? It's a glue factory for you. Come on now, hear me? Come on there. Whoa! Use the mailbag, Judge.
Oh, you old coot. You're late again.
Still don't get no respect.
Get out of here. And don't slam that door. Well, Hank, that ought to hold you for another year of ranching. You got your debts paid, your cattle sold, the taxes are taken care of, the mortgage whittled down, and a dollar or two heading for the bank. How does it feel to be prosperous?
I'm just glad the price of cattle held good for another year.
I'll see it to these papers go on the morning stage to the county seat, along with the papers for all the other ranchers around here. Well, now we can quit talking business, and you three can start enjoying the county fair. Speaking of which, you and Cookie sure look like Eastern dudes in your fancy duds. Jimmy, why aren't you all cleaned up like those two?
Hank's got me standing guard over the stagecoach office until the stage leaves in the morning.
Sheriff Collins has one of the ranchers provide a special deputy each year to help guard the stagecoach office at this time. I'm giving him Jimmy.
A good idea. There's a fair amount of money going back to Calico City, along with a lot of important papers, including yours. Hate to see anything happen to the strongbox in there.
Judge, why don't you step across the street with us and get something to eat at the Widow Meg's dining parlor? We're going to feed Jimmy, sit him in a chair in front of the stagecoach office next door, and then go on to the festivities.
Oh, I can't right now, Hank. Got a few more ranchers coming in to settle up accounts before the end of the day. But you have a good lunch.
Well, thanks a lot, Judge. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, I'll see you then.
Hank, look over there. The Widow Megs is waving her frying pan at those three galoots in the street.
Yeah, and one of them only has one boot.
If you three varmints ever come back, you can expect more of the same.
Lady, if you know what's good for you, you'd put away that frying pan and shut up. I don't normally pick a fight with a lady, but you're trying my patience.
Everyone simmer down. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm bringing it to a halt. You wranglers, move on down the street.
Oh, yeah? Tell me why, city slicker. First a lady with a frying pan threatens me. Now some guy dressed like a mail order catalog tries to face me down. Now let's just see what you are.
Did you see that, Cookie?
I seen it.
Oh, my stars and possum dogs. One minute, Hank was standing there, just as easy as can be, with his thumbs hooked in his belt. And then that hard case made a move like he was going to draw. And then Hank had his six-shooter in his hand, not exactly pointing at anyone, but just kind of laying there easy-like. I never even saw him move.
Yeah, I've seen him do it before, Jimmy.
Simmer down, boys. I think I know what we're facing here. Someone just called him Hank. I think that there's Hank Ballard, his own self, standing there. All 6 feet of him.
You three men ease off your gun belts. Let him drop in the road. You can pick him up from Sheriff Collins when you're ready to leave town.
Do as he says, boys, and with no hard feelings. Ma'am, Widow Meggs?
That's Mrs. Meggs to you, cowboy.
Mrs. Meggs, I apologize for the actions of my friends and myself. If you could see your way clear to throw my friend's boot out here, we'll be on our way up the street to the fair and take the thunder out of this situation.
Oh, just a second. Here you go.
Put your boot on, kid. Let's get out of here.
Jimmy, gather up the gun belts and drop them off at the sheriff's.
I'm on my way, Hank.
Morning, Miss Meggs.
Howdy do, Widow Meggs.
It's Mrs. Meggs to you, Cookie.
Better do as she says, Cookie. Never argue with a woman who has a frying pan in her hands. What was that all about, ma'am?
Those three ranch hands were sitting at a table waiting for breakfast and acting kind of rowdy. I found one of them blundering back through the kitchen into the storeroom just as big as you please. He said he wanted to see what his choices to eat would be. Well, sir, I chased him back out to his table, and then I found the young one had took off his boot to trim down his toenails. I told him you don't do that at the table in any civilized place, and he talked to me like I was a cowhand. At that point, I went into the kitchen, got my frying pan. I taught them some politeness.
Well, I hope you didn't dent your frying pan.
No, it's still solid and serviceable.
Mrs. Miggs, what kind of an animal is that tied up over there?
That's probably some kind of a dog, Cookie.
I swear you two ain't got nothing but hair under your hats. That there is a poodle, all the rage back east. It belongs to the new schoolmarm, Miss Judy Tolliver. She's inside having breakfast. Oh, why, here she comes now.
Well, morning, Miss Judy.
And how are you two gentlemen this morning?
Take off your hats, you pair of grinning mules. Miss Judy, this is Hank Ballard and Cookie of the Rockin' Bar B Ranch. They've been admiring your poodle.
Yes, ma'am. May I pet him? I don't believe I've ever seen...
Oh, you've torn your sleeve.
Well, ma'am, it don't amount to much. It's only up to the elbow. I hardly ever wear a shirt this fancy anyhow.
Oh, serves you right, Hank, to try to pet a strange dog.
It sure is a strange-looking dog.
Don't get me started, Cookie.
She's still got that frying pan, Cookie.
Hank, why don't you and Cookie escort me and Miss Judy up to the fair? I'm getting ready to lock up the eating emporium, and we were planning to see it anyway. You can get something to eat at the fair.
What should I do about my poodle?
Well, here comes Jimmy back from the sheriff's. He's going to be sitting out in front of the stagecoach office here next door. Let's put out some water, and Jimmy can watch the dog also.
You entering anything in the cooking contest this year, Cookie?
Well, no, I aren't, Ms. Miggs. You done beat me in the chocolate cake judging last year, and in the peach preserves the year before. Strongest thing I got left is my apple pie. And if you beat me in that, the boys will make me live in shame the rest of my days. Not that I don't think my apple pie wouldn't win in any honest contest.
Why, Mr. Cookie of the Rockin' Bar B, just what do you mean by that?
Oh, well, these judges, they're all town folks. And they eat at your emporium pretty regular. And if they don't vote for you...
Cookie, why... are you saying that I would poison anyone who didn't vote for me?
Oh, no, ma'am, not exactly, but I just...
Miss Meggs may still not have her frying pan, Cookie, but you still better watch your step.
I'm sorry you tore your shirt sleeve, Mr. Ballard. That shirt was so attractive.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you see, Cookie and I like to get cleaned up and sparkling once a year for this fair. All the ranchers around about are likely to be here, all of them trying to out-rooster each other. It's the end of the season, and we like to feel we can show off a little.
Looky here, Hank. Here's the rodeo. Let's find a seat up in the stands.
Excuse me.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, may I have your attention, please? I give you Big Red, the cowboy duster. They say there's never a horse that can't be rode, and never a cowboy that couldn't be throwed. Well, that may apply to horses and cowboys, ladies and gentlemen, but it don't apply to Big Red. He has never been rode. And he probably never will be. He is the meanest, most cantankerous, jumpinest, bumpinest, and gyrationist bull ever seen under the Texas sky.
He's a big one, Hank.
And as a gesture of goodwill to this fine community, we will give $50 to the first cowboy who can stay on Big Red for 20 seconds. $50 for 20 seconds.
Don't even think of it, Hank. That there's a Brahma bull, meaner than a stepped-on rattlesnake and just as quick.
Don't worry, Cookie.
$60 for 20 seconds.
Them things ain't bred for riding.
Someone has just pointed out that the new schoolmarm is in the crowd. $75 for 20 seconds. And we will donate all of that money to the schoolhouse.
Oh, look, Mr. Ballard, that's young Henry Anderson trying to make his way to the announcer. He's one of my students, and I think he is sweet on me. I hope he isn't going to try to ride that great big beast. He's only 13. Don't let him do it, Mr. Ballard, please.
Well, Miss Judy, I was doing wrangler work and drawing top hand pay when I wasn't much older than him. Besides, how can I stop him?
Cowboy, you there sitting next to the schoolmarm with the torn sleeve, would you like to... Why, That's Hank Ballard, ladies and gentlemen. If anybody can ride Big Red, he can. $100 for 20 seconds. All to go to the schoolhouse. What do you say, Mr. Ballard?
Oh, no.
Oh, if you ride that old bull, Mr. Ballard, and win the prize money, then Henry Anderson will not be tempted.
Okay, cinch her up, fellas. Here I come. Cookie, hold my guns.
Now, please explain to me what's going on, Mr. Cookie.
Oh, I will. First, they have to get Hank on the critter. That's what they're doing there. Then, they open the gate and... Whoa! Look at him jump!
Is that good, Mr. Cookie? I don't see how Mr. Ballard can stay on at all.
Well, he has to hang on to the cinch rope as best he can. Whoa! Look at that!
Is he supposed to be riding sideways like that, Mr. Cookie?
Oh, no, ma'am. And he probably doesn't want his head to keep hitting the ground like that either.
What are those two men doing?
They're trying to get Hank off. But every time they get near, that bull runs right over their horses. Another centimeter bull.
Well, at least Mr. Ballard is back on top now. But is he supposed to be backwards?
Stay on him.
Ma'am, right now I don't think he knows if he's going down to the creek or coming home from the preacher. Well, he's won the money. All he has to do now is get off.
Ooh, that must have hurt.
Probably.
Well, I can't believe he was supposed to get off the beast that way. I think he was just showing off. He went so high in the air. Was that the right way, Mr. Cookie?
If you can stand up and walk away, it was the right way. And he's pretty much doing that. Just two men helping him walk.
Well, you hardly notice the torn sleeve at all now, the way he is all torn up in general.
That's one good thing.
Look, here comes Henry Anderson.
Miss Tolliver, Billy and I went over to the schoolhouse to feed the class mascot, but we couldn't find it. It got out of its house somehow.
Oh, dear.
But we think it's hidden under one of the desks. It needs to be fed.
Thank you, Henry. We will take care of it as soon as Mr. Ballard rejoins us.
Jumping blue blazes. Did you see Mr. Ballard ride that bull? I didn't think anyone would be dumb enough to try that.
Henry, say hello to Mr. Ballard. That's him right behind you.
Hi, Mr. Ballard.
You know, Hank, you look a little kicked in and stepped on there.
Cookie, I feel a little kicked in. That bull tried to put my insides on the outside. And as for you, young Henry...
I gotta be going now.
Mr. Ballard, don't you think we should get you over to Dr. Wallace to look at that cut over your eye? You need more than just that bandana on it. Look how it is bleeding down your shirt. What about that bruise on your cheek? Does that hurt?
Ow! No, ma'am.
But you said ow.
Well, it didn't hurt till you poked it.
Well, I certainly didn't mean to hurt you, sir. I just didn't think that a little touch like this could...
Ow!
Oh.
Let's all get down to Doc Wallace.
I know you're not a drinking man, Hank, but I wish you would take a snort or two of this liquid emollient before I stitch you your wound up. It might help.
Just get it over with, Doc.
All right, but I'm going to have a sample. Don't want all this to go to waste. Now hold still. I've got to pour some right in the cut. I know that has to burn.
It sure don't tickle, Doc.
Okay, now let me get my catgut and needle. Ladies, feel free to admire my handiwork. I'm kind of proud of my sewing ability. There's one. There's two. There's three. And there's three.
That's four, Doc. That is pretty neat stitching.
Yes, very tidy. You can exhale now, Mr. Ballard.
That's a nasty bruise you got on your cheek, Hank. Does that hurt?
Ow, no.
Why did you say ow, then?
Because you poked it, Doc. Will everybody please stop poking the bruise on my cheek?
I bet Miss Judy could take the hurt away. Why don't you give him a kiss on the cheek, Judy?
Why, Agatha Meggs, I will do no such thing. It's not proper.
Oh, come on, Judy Tolliver. Hank Ballard is the most proper man in Calico County. Anything he does is proper. You owe him a kiss anyway for winning that money for your school.
Think of it as a scientific experiment, Miss Judy. See if it will really take away the pain.
Better hurry up. Look how red he's turning. He's fixing to pop.
Don't I get to say something?
No, you don't, Hank Ballard. You just sit there, hush up, and start grinning. A pretty girl is about to kiss you.
Well, I don't like this one bit, but if the doctor says it's worth doing...
It is. My cure is pain.
Well, then.
Ow.
Aw, that couldn't have hurt.
No, it didn't.
Well, come on, everybody. I have to get up to the schoolhouse and find the class pet. It's about time we turned it loose anyway. Now, everyone look around carefully. Myrtle is around here somewhere, maybe under one of the desks.
What kind of pet is it, Judy?
It's a turtle. The children named her Myrtle the Turtle. Isn't that cute?
Oh, that's just as cute as soap and suffocation sweet potatoes, Hank. Something monstrous has got a hold of my foot.
Well, drag your foot out here so I can see you, Cookie. Man alive, that's the biggest snapping turtle I've ever seen. Hold still so I can shoot it.
You will do no such of a thing, Mr. Ballard. That is the class pet.
Shoot one or the other of us, Hank. I gotta have some relief.
Miss Judy, we can't let that thing chew on Cookie. Let me take a look here. Oh, man, that thing has a crimp right through the boot into Cookie's big toe. If we try to yank it off, we'll take the toe with it. You know, snapping turtles can hang on for a long time.
We will just have to think of some way to get it off without harming it.
Let's take him back to Doc Wallace. Maybe he can figure out some way to get it off without killing the critter.
Well, how you figure on getting Cookie back to the dock? He can't really walk with that thing attached to his foot.
Here, Mrs. Meggs, you help me support Cookie on that side. Now, I'll get him here. Now, Mr. Ballard, you try to hold that turtle up. And now, if Mr. Cookie can kind of hop along on his other foot...
I'm all bent over walking backwards.
Well, now, Hank, I ain't exactly in a bed of roses here myself.
Hold your foot up, Cookie.
I am holding it up, thank you.
Oh, I can't believe it. First Hank gets run over by a bull. Then Cookie gets eaten by a turtle. And the day's still young. What other animals are you guys planning on tormenting this time?
Well, Hank got bit by a dog that tore his shirt sleeve.
That figures. Look, I don't know why you need me. Just chop the head off that turtle.
No!
Okay. Who's the patient here? Cookie or the turtle?
The turtle.
The turtle.
Cookie.
Me?
I'm beginning to think it's beneath my professional dignity to have a turtle for a patient.
I'll bake you a chocolate cake, Doc. Three layers. With walnuts on top.
Cookie, how much do you like that toe? Heck, all it does is keep you from falling over when you stand up. And you are usually on a horse anyway.
Doc, you ain't gonna cut off my toe.
Oh, of course not. Miss Mays, could you hand me my bone saw now? Let's take a look.
Doc!
Oh, all right. Let me just take a look here. Now, let's see. Okay, I think... Let me get my scalp.
Oh, I'm real fond of that toe, Doc.
Oh, simmer down, Cookie. All right, here's what we can do. Let me cut the whole front end of the boot off. Following that fancy stitch in there, I think that we can then pull the turtle and that part of the boot right off with it. Probably it won't probably be any bloodshed at all.
Go to it, Doc.
Easy, Doc.
Nice boots. Good leather here, Cookie.
Oh, easy.
Quit wiggling, Cookie.
Oh, I felt that one, Doc.
It was hardly a scratch, Cookie.
Oh, Doc, my toe is just a throbbing.
Cookie, it probably hurt you worse this morning putting on that clean shirt. That's it. Now, everyone pull on the turtle. There!
Now let's take Myrtle down to the creek and turn her loose.
I'd like to turn her loose into a soup pot.
Just for that, Cookie, you have to carry Myrtle.
Remember to keep the biting end pointing out. And if you have a run-in with a skunk this time, don't come to me for help.
Now, around here should be a good place.
Miss Judy, the bluffs here are pretty tall. It's a good 12 feet down to the creek. We're going to have to get closer to the water.
There's a trail down to the creek somewheres around here.
I think it's over here by this cottonwood.
Now, be careful, Cookie. It's kind of steep there.
Now, don't you worry about me. I'm just as sure-footed as a mountain goat. Why, one time I was at... And it was... Oh, no!
Is the turtle hurt, Mr. Cookie?
No, ma'am. She kind of got cushioned when she landed on top of me.
Well, you can let her go now.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you find your way up from there, Cookie?
Yeah, Hank. I see the trail. Here I come.
Good grief, Cookie. You look a mess.
You ain't all that cute and cuddly yourself there, Hank.
Come on, let's go back to my dining emporium. You boys ain't had a bit to eat yet, and I know you can't let a cowboy go hungry. Me and Miss Judy will cook you something to make your insides feel warm.
Well, Miss Meggs, I'm ready to get back and sit down and eat some of your chocolate cake, if you have any. Even though I'm not sure I'm proper company, covered all up in mud.
Cookie, there will always be some chocolate cake around waiting for you, you old rascal. Even if you're covered in head to toe in cow flaps. I just may laugh a little when I serve you. That is, if you were to come around.
Oh, well, it does happen that a man gets tired of his own cooking sometimes.
I expect so.
And it's like, Oh, Hank, you don't see what I don't see because I don't like what I ain't seeing.
Neither do I, Cookie.
What are you two talking about?
Well, Jimmy's not at his post. The chair's there. The strange dog.
Poodle dog.
Is there sleeping, but no Jimmy.
Maybe he just wandered away for a minute.
And maybe something's happened to him.
Well, I don't see what all the fuss is about. Let's just go up and check.
Not so fast, Miss Judy. Miss Meggs, does your dining emporium still share the back storeroom with the stage office?
Yep, although they keep the door locked from their side.
Well, I don't like the looks of this. Give me your key, Miss Meggs, and Cookie and I will go through your emporium and try to check out the stagecoach office through the storage room. You and Miss Judy head through the alley there and get Sheriff Collins to come on over here.
I will do no such of the thing, Hank Ballard. That is my emporium, and I intend to know what is going on in there.
In there may be your emporium. But out here, it is Texas, and as a special deputy of Calico County, I order you and Miss Judy...
Don't you get on your high horse with me, Hank Ballard. I chased you with a tree switch when you weren't knee-high to a grasshopper. You won't get anywhere ordering me and Miss Judy around.
Will you please give me the keys, and then will you and Miss Judy... Please go up through the alley to please get Sheriff Collins and to please come here.
Well, since you ask so politely, Miss Judy and I shall. But we don't like it one bit.
Come on, Cookie. Let's see what's going on in there.
Look, Hank, there's Jimmy, in the corner, all tied up.
Let's check him out, Cookie.
Untie me, Cookie, you big galoot.
That's some knot on that head.
Yeah, he seems to be okay. They must have snuck up on him and got the drop on him and tied him up. Let's get these ropes off.
Hold it right there, boys. Stand up, real easy-like. Not even Hank Ballard will want to draw against a pair of shotguns.
That's those guys Widow Meggs chased out with the frying pan.
Yeah, it's us. Our gun belts are still down at the sheriff's, but lucky for us, we still had these shotguns on our horses. We had our eyes in this hall for quite a while. We weren't about to let a little thing like our problem this morning stop us. There's a lot of money in that safe next door, and we're leaving with it. By any chance, Ballard, do you know the combination of that safe? We're getting ready to blow it open. Hate to make all that noise if I don't have to. Might even damage this eating emporium. But I would hate to do that.
That blast will bring people running.
Yeah, well. By the way, what on earth happened to you two? You guys look like you've been rode hard and put away wet.
Hey, look at that one's foot. His toes are sticking out of his boot. Gee, and he's covered in mud.
Man, I'd be ashamed to go out in public looking like that. Look at Ballard. Looks like he's been in a fight with a wildcat and come out second best. Why don't you stand up straight, Ballard? You're kind of bending over there.
I can't. My back's paining me. I had to carry a giant turtle through town all bent over. Why didn't you two go get the sheriff like I asked you?
Well, we were on our way up the alley when we saw some horses tied up out back.
So we came up to look in the back kitchen window.
And we heard a lot of laughing.
And we thought there was a party going on.
So we came in the kitchen door.
Real quiet-like.
And when we saw what was going on,
we got two frying pans and snuck up behind them.
It was easy. They were laughing so hard.
Yeah, Cookie and I saw the rest. All right. Why don't you two go on and get the sheriff while me and Cookie guard these three and take care of Jimmy?
Why don't we? Hank Ballard, if you think that's going to happen, you have another think coming.
What do you mean?
Me and Miss Judy captured these three desperados, and we plan to stay right here guarding them until you and Cookie bring the sheriff. And there will be no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Besides, we can take care of Jimmy better than you two can. But please, stop by Doc Wallace and have him come on over here at once.
I have done enough parading around town looking like I was the bottom half of a stampede. As Deputy Sheriff of Calico County, I instruct you in the name of law and order.
Hush, Hank Ballard. Out there in the street, it's Texas. In here, it's Widow Meg's land, and I rule the roost. You and Cookie get going.
She still got her frying pan, Hank.
But it... Okay, let's go, Cookie.
Did you see the way Widow Meg's got two of them varmints with one sweep of her frying pan?
That was pretty impressive.
That's a woman to ride the range with.
Yep.
Miss Judy sure caught that other fellow flat-footed.
Yep.
You really are kind of bent over there, Hank.
Yeah, I'm going to need a mustard plaster on my back tonight. That turtle was heavy, and I couldn't straighten up carrying it.
I tried to hold my foot as high as I could.
I know you did, Cookie. You know, your toes kind of curl up every time you step.
My big toe still hurts.
Yeah, and I expect it will. But you know what, Cookie? When Miss Judy gave me that kiss back in the doc's office, it did kind of take the pain in my cheek away.
Yeah, that will happen. All in all, it's been a pretty good day, hasn't it, Hank?
Yeah, Cookie, I guess it has.
Hank Ballard is played by Frank Hunt. Cookie is Mark Anderson. And Jimmy is Michael Henry. Judge Watkins featured Ralph Goodwin. Widow Meggs was acted by Mary Pat Cooney. The Hard Case featured Phil Kenya. The Hard Case sidekicks were both performed by Ralph Goodwin. Miss Judy Tolliver was played by Chris Bamberger. The rodeo announcer was Maury Cagle. Young Henry Anderson was performed by Wayne Hunt. Doc Wallace featured Bill Jacobson. The Angry Stagecoach Driver was Mark Bush. Grunts, groans, and animal sounds were made by the ensemble cast. Mark Bush, Marsha Bush, and Mark Paulette created and provided the live sound effects. Wayne Hunt performed the music. The radio engineer was Steve Rydell. This is Lee Shepherd speaking. A Pretty Good Day has been a Radio Visions presentation.